Hello, welcome to Have Roots, We'll Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin-Stoltari, and I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Over the last year, we have been exploring Les Filles du Roi, the King's Daughters, taking each one of them and getting to know them individually. So with that, we will start our latest, number 92. For those of you familiar with my channel, you know that I produced a video called Les Filles du Roi, the Program 2.0, and it's on the playlist. Have a look at it if you need more information about the program and how it worked and all of that good stuff. It will definitely deepen your understanding of what your particular ancestor went through. Let's explore number 92, coming up next. So her name was Etienette, isn't that nice? Loret. And she is actually recommended again by a viewer. I do not have her in my file, so thank you to the viewer who requested this particular Filles du Roi. So Etienette was born in 1649 in the parish of Saint-Laurent in Paris. And Saint-Laurent is actually the church right here, is a church in the 10th arrondissement of Paris. It's found on the Rue de Faubourg Saint-Martin, and it's built on Paris's north-south axis, linking it the Senlis and Orléans, as laid out by the Romans in the course of the mid-first century BC, now marked by the Rue du Faubourg Saint-Martin. So you can see like how the vestiges of that, you know, how the Romans are still present in modern day Paris. The 10th arrondissement of Paris is one of those 20 arrondissements. Remember, the arrondissement is how Paris is laid out in circles. And now this particular arrondissement is called Entrepôt, which means warehouse. And it's situated on the right bank of the River Seine. This arrondissement contains two of Paris's six main railway stations, the Gare du Nord and the Gare de l'Est, the north train station and the east train station. Built during the 19th century, these two terminals are among the busiest in Europe. The 10th arrondissement also contains a large portion of the Canal Saint-Martin, linking the northeastern parts of Paris with the River Seine. So I put a picture of it there. So it's just really cool. Her parents were named Jean Loret and Françoise Lefroy. Let's find out her journey. So Etienette would embark on a great adventure. We think that she just became a Fille du Roi. Possibly her parents were alive still, because she left for New France with a dowry of about 100 pounds. And she went on the Saint-Jean-Baptiste ship. She arrived in Quebec on August 15th. 1671. Let's see who she selected. So the groom she selects and who selects her, his name is Jabot or Lebeau de Lalouette, and he was born about 1654 in the commune of Saint-Jean-de-Mont, which is found in the Vendée department in the Pays de la Loire, western part of France. So you can see where it is on that. And this is the church where he would have been baptized, and this is kind of a modern day it is a modern day picture of what it looks like today. His parents are Maître Beau and Louise Garrett. We do not have a marriage record, but we know that they were married May 15, 1672 in Boucherville. Where do they settle? So they actually settle at Fort St. Louis, which was become Chambly. And the Fort St. Louis is a very, very important part in so many parts of history that we will explore at some point. But the first, it was originally called Fort St. Louis, was constructed in 1665 by the captain, Jacques de Chambly, to protect New France from the Iroquois attack. So I kind of indicated where Chambly is. This is a historic picture in the middle. And this is what the fort looks like today, where you can visit it. And it's just a remarkable piece of history. This is the 1681 census where we have Pierre Beau. I looked and looked, I finally found him, Jean Beau, and he's 27. Etienne Loret, his wife, you can see, is 5 years older. His children are René, Jean, Etienne, Pierre. They have one gun, two Bazakom and seven Achba Amalal. So they have about 4 to 5 acres of land. So after a time, I mean, obviously you can imagine what it was like, the wilderness of Fort Lake St. Louis, they needed to have much more of a community. So they moved to Boucherville, and it was founded as a seigneurial parish in 1667 by Pierre Boucher, for whom the city was later named. Pierre Boucher came from Normandy, and having lived in Quebec City in Trois-Rivières, remember, he was the governor of Trois-Rivières, Pierre moved to the Percé Islands by the southern shores of St. Lawrence, where he founded Boucherville. The first Catholic church of the village was built here in about 1670. This church, made of wood, was eventually replaced in 1712 by a building made of brick. It was then replaced in 1801 by the current St. Denis Church. Several families, and this is just an interesting kind of historical footnote, who left Boucherville in the 18th century to found the communities of Saint-Julie and Saint-Bruno. So those of you who have family in that area may find it interesting that they may have, you know, settled in Boucherville and kind of made their way out into Saint-Julie and Saint-Bruno, which are very well-known little suburbs, not really suburbs, little towns in Quebec, not so little. So then we have a statue of Pierre Boucher that I put that. That's not in Boucherville, it's actually in Quebec City. The church is Saint-Famille. We have Boucherville, so you can see where it is in relationship. And then, of course, it sits right there by the St. Lawrence. So they would have 10 children, and their firstborn married Madeleine Gertin and had 8 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Jean-Baptiste would marry Marguerite Giguère and had 5 children. After her passing, he then married Marguerite Sen and had 3 children. All his children survived. Louis married Geneviève Brunet and had 1 child, who made it to adulthood. He then married Christine Otis and had another child. An interesting side note, Christine was an American who had been captured by Indians in a raid in 1689 when she was 3 months old. Her mother remarried in Quebec, and Christine was raised in a convent. This would be a very interesting tree if this is your branch. Please let me know in the comments below if this is one of your branches. I just find it fascinating. And then we have Pierre. Not much is known about him. Jeanne, again, not much is known about her. We assume that they died in infancy. Maitre married Joseph Angélique Lebeau and had 1 child, who survived. Marie Le Sieur, he then married Marie Le Sieur and had 5 children, all of whom survived. Marie married Simon Séguin and did not have any children. Thérèse married Jean Guéraud and had 3 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Marien married, I love that name, married Suzanne Nori and had 13 children, all of whom made it. Just remarkable. Françoise married Jean-Baptiste Menard and had 5 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. In their later years, it is, I think they made deep roots in Boucherville. And as of 1695, it is stated in Peter J. Gagne's amazing books about the Fils du Roi that Jean was a school teacher, which I find fascinating. Obviously was participating in that burgeoning community that was Boucherville. And he and Etienne would, at the time of his passing, would have been married 56 years. Amazing, amazing. He dies on the 14th of November, 1728, at the very respectable and older age of 74. She would then pass away about 4 years later on the in 1734, and she would die on the 29th of March. They are both buried in Boucherville, which I mean, what a life. What a life they led. 56 years, just remarkable. Before I let you go, remember these resources, La Société des Filles du Roi, et sur Dutch Carignan. I put all of those websites and links for you in the bottom. Fabulous website. I am the membership chairperson for that society. It's been around since 1994. Lots and lots of information for you. Go on that website and find out if that's something that you would like to join, or at least visit the website. And then we have on Facebook, we have Les Filles du Roi descendants. Remarkable, very, very very giving, very generous people on that, just a wonderful Facebook group. And then the third is Migration, again, one of the premier websites that I use to be able to gather information and do the research necessary to produce these videos. So I'm very grateful to them. So with that ends our episode number 92. And you know, every once in a while, I do one where I think, wow, they really, really love, I really get the sense that they, it was a love story and they connected, they made a family, they grew old together, and they passed on. And that was the story of Etienette and her man, Jean. I really think they formed a really solid foundation. And we're obviously in Boucherville, we're probably the pioneers. I haven't been able to find any pioneer memorials to them, but I suspect there might be or should be. As of 1729, she had exactly 95 descendants. They had 95 descendants, of which my viewer is one. So with that, I thank her for her contribution and her dedication, the sacrifices they must surely have made, and we thank her. And with that, I bid you adieu and au revoir until I see you on episode number 93.